And they swear they never had any black help, but I know better. Anyway, the Leonard, he was a party boy, and of course Ann was too. And but anyway, so Addison married Tut from over there, and moved in and refurnished it. And
Addison married Tut from Bunston.
What?
Addison married Tut from Bunston.
Yeah, they're from around Bunston.
Okay.
Dr. Tut was a very fine figure, also a Baptist preacher, fine man. And her name has just gone out of my head. Anyway, but they had a great life. They hired the same painter that came from Ireland to repaint all the woodwork to look like mahogany and walnut and fancy and maple at great expense. He added the balcony to the front of the house. He built this round barn to show off his hogs, and it fell down, I guess, about 10 years ago. But there was a ladder. You could climb up into the gallery and look down on the hogs. Our goats are small animals, and at great expense. Of course, as soon as he got it going, they opened a big livestock auction place elsewhere, so it was not very successful. But it was a great place for cockfighting, for the folks that like cockfighting. And, of course, my side of the family disapproved of cockfighting. Well, Addison didn't get along well with my great-grandfather because my great-grandfather hated guns. He was a doctor. He thought it was stupid to go out and look for foxes and kill them with dogs. You know, he disapproved of that. So our family kind of drifted apart there. Of course, Maggie Tut. Addison and Maggie went bankrupt, and the place was sold at the courthouse door. Complete. Mm-hmm. Furniture, your sugar, your salt, your dishes, your everything went.
They were allowed. What became of them?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
They got to carry as much as they could carry in a suitcase, and they went to Sedalia and lived in a boarding house in Sedalia until they died. And Addison died first, and he and Maggie both were buried down here. But what is interesting,
is there a family cemetery here on Pleasant Green?
Well, it's a little down the hill. Everybody's in the same cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know, the black people showed up from all over and sang at his funeral. It was the new church, the one that Ad had donated the land for, and it was very touching. Now, I don't know. Maggie's buried there, too. I'm not sure. I've never checked the dates, whether she went first or Addison, but they were continually visited by relatives and their black friends, because Sedalia was a very busy, active railroad town, and it couldn't have been all bad, but that was all they could afford.
Say again what your relationship to Addison is.
He was my great-grandmother's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So the place was taken over by James Schlotzauer and his family, and they were not pleased having a lot of black people living on the property. So he moved two of the buildings down the road, and he burned one. The only reason we have one left is because the lady that lived there had a very young daughter. And even though Sedalia had schools for black children, she felt it was a wicked city, and she didn't want her little girl growing up there until she was old enough to take care of herself. So she worked from Ishlatzar to pay rent on this one cabin. That's why we still have a cabin, because after the daughter grew up and she moved to Sedalia, the Ishlatzar used it. They had a Delco system out there and a milk separator. And so they used the building, and so that's why it survives to this day. Otherwise, it would have been burned or rolled off.
And that's the building that's just about 25 feet or so out your back door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I knew the name of that lady, but it's been lost. Sedalia had a couple of families for a while that were descendants, and one of them was not very sociable, though. Although I've gone to a couple of funerals over there for some that have come back from Chicago or Kansas City. But I'm out of touch completely now with any of them. Okay, so the Ishlatzar, here comes the Depression. So a lot of the Ishlatzar family moved in, and they had a full house here for years. But then they all, after the Depression, in the war, they all moved up and away. James Ishlatzar was dead. His wife was dead. The house was abandoned. And meanwhile, they had graded the road. And during the grading, they were using dynamite. And a huge boulder was blown up and fell down on that front gallery porch that Addison had put up there. Fell into the down the stairway, right into the front hall. And, of course, the highway people were very nice about it. But Mr. Ishlatzar said, well, instead of fixing the house, fix that bridge down there at the foot of the hill, and that'll make up for the damage. So just one way or another, somehow they patched it up. Okay. So anyway, the place just sat here, boarded up, rotting away.
After World War II, the plantation home here becomes vacant.
Yeah, after the kids get home from the war and things get prosperous again, everybody moves out. Okay, but they still keep farming. This had 750 acres, and they still got it in their family. I just have 7 acres. Mother felt so sorry for the place because her mother had actually been bored in this house. And she liked it. And she was always visiting her brother over there near Beeman and saying, oh, I wish I could save that old house. You know,
was your grandmother's name that was born in this plantation home?
Florence. Conkright, and she married a cousin named Cox, Florence Conkright Cox. So her middle name would have been Walker, Florence Walker. Yes, her mother was Florence Walker. My grandmother named her daughter Florence Walker, so guess what my name was? Florence Walker. But we always had a different name to go by.
What year would it have been that your grandmother was born in this house?
She was married in the 1880s, and she was, it would have been in the, surely she wasn't born during the Civil War.
Could have been.
Yeah, I guess she could have at that. Yeah. I'll have to look that up. That's an interesting point. Mother was born in 1900. So subtract 18 or 20 years from that. So my grandmother was born in probably 1880 or late 1870s, probably. She eloped, grandmother did. She and a cousin, Cox, J.G. Cox, they eloped to Oklahoma. J.G. was a big dreamer. He wanted land in Oklahoma, and so they were going to be out there to get some. So he picked up my grandmother and took her out to Veneta, Oklahoma. And they were married in the pastor's study. And the next thing she knew, they were living in a sod hut out in Oklahoma. And of course, my mother was born, and here they were. The wind never stopped blowing, and they had to live on that property most of the year to claim it. So, well, that's neither here nor there. But the interesting thing was that we lost hold of this property because my great grandfather didn't get along with Addison. So this was payback time. Mother wanted the house back. Okay, so Virgil Woolf sold her 7 acres and all these rundown buildings, and trying to keep them up is a job. I guess they finally signed the last papers in about 1972.
What do you think she had to pay for this, the plantation home, the outbuildings?
All the broken down
buildings. And the 7 acres.
She got it for about $15,000, I think. Yeah. And they tried their best. They lived down in South Texas. They had retired to a grapefruit orchard. They developed one in South Texas near Alamo. See, my grandfather, who married my grandmother, naturally, divorced her. He ran off. He was a banker, and he ran off with the teller at the Otterville Bank, and they set up a home down at the Mexican border at Alamo, and he started a bank down there and helped finance the bridge over the Rio Grande. He loved property and wheeling and dealing. Anyway, so he said, come on down. He had, start a grapefruit orchard. So my parents, when they retired, went down there and started a grapefruit orchard. But then mother hated to leave her connections up here. So all of a sudden, they own all these falling down buildings, and they sold the grapefruit orchard. Daddy had a stroke. There were a lot of stuff that went on. But I was a widow by then, so we would come up here in the summer and help them fill the holes in the plaster and help putty in the windows. We were not good workmen at all, but it was such a mess. The mattels were all on the floor. The furniture was all gone. You go around the Schlutzer homes, and you'll see odds and ends from here. It had been empty, except for that piece. That piece stayed. It was too big to fool in. Nobody wanted it.
That's an amazing piece of furniture.
But all the papers, the land grants, everything, Uncle Ad's St. Louis furniture, is all in other people's houses now. I would love to get those land grants back. I have copies, but I counted up 17,000 acres in those land grants.
We'll pause here.
I think we're up to date, don't
you? Oh,
what time
like
is
it?
I don't want to keep y'all too long.
It's
10:15. I want Patricia to get up there and check on her husband. Don't you want some tea?
No.
I have the tea bag back there.
I must not eat any more of that sweet stuff. It makes me want to cough. It makes me want to cough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I have to get up, because I'm like, I gotta cough.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh. It's just me. It's not. That's perfect. It's really good.
Well, I'm gonna take a quick sip.
Hardly need to eat any of it.
Let's see. We've gotten up to getting the house and fixing it up.
And it's 1972 when your mother
bought it. It was livable. I think by 80, livable. Papa had a stroke in there, down there in Texas, and he had to spend some time in the nursing home, and we worked on him. They sold the orchard because he couldn't handle the orchard anymore, and they decided they'd just come up here for their old age, and they did, and I worried myself sick going back and forth.
Because you were where in those days when
I was back in Louisiana.
You were in Louisiana.
Yeah, and still there. But we would come up here in the summertime, my 3 kids and I, and we'd work. We'd earn our keep. But, oh, it was hot. And, oh, until we got a decent, we used that outhouse out there. Oh, okay. It was rough. The Schlotzauers were great farmers, but they weren't great housekeepers. I'll tell you that.
The house had actually been abandoned.
For
a number of years, probably 20 years almost in there, it sounds like.
Yeah. There were more raccoons and possums, foxes. It was a hangout for all the critters. But they would go back to Texas in the cold weather, and I went back for the kids to go to school. So we just had the summer to find a brick man and a concrete man and everything else. And we didn't get any heat except for fireplaces until the 1880s, 1980 something or another.
So this house, from the time it was built or being built and constructed over all those decades, had no central heat of any sort until the 1980s.
Right. They had wood-burning stoves. Mm. They had closed, the Schlotzers closed up the chimneys, and except for, I guess, some kind of a pipe for the wood-burning iron stoves.
So they no longer used any fireplaces when the Schlotzers owned it. They had wood-burning stoves.
They'd poke a hole in the somewhere and send the fumes up from there. Mm-hmm. But of course, Mother thought that was terrible, so she wanted the fireplaces open, which meant they had to keep feeding them all winter long. But they lived in just part of the house. But finally, it all got more or less together. So after Papa recovered from his stroke, they moved in here full time in about 1981. And we commuted for holidays and stuff like that. And always painting, always filling cracks, always something. And I'm still doing it. What?
Okay.
Are we up to date?
Okay.
Now?
Well,